Get the video going, audio, and I'll get the video going, Lord willing. Always have to lower this. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, whoops. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hello. Hello. That's good right there. And I'll put the study up. And there you go.
Here we go, kids.
Well, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And what that is, by the way, in case you've never seen that before, a little skinny trumpet like that, that's in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, where a long time ago, they used to blow the trumpet, silver trumpets, to summon the congregation and summon the elders. Of course, we just do it in memorial. It's not a commandment or nothing. We just like the sound of that trumpet. You know, and plus it's so, look how skinny it is. But anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBeMashiach. We are, I guess, wandering Jews, you know. We just made our way to Holanwall, and we just started our congregation. So we never know who's going to come, and it's very exciting just to be here. And today is the Sabbath, Adat Yisrael, right there. And here's how you say Shabbat Shalom in Hebrew, right there. If you read Hebrew, I don't know if you do or not, there it is. Well, anyway, we're going to pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we just thank and praise you, Lord and God, that we could be here. First, we ask you for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua, knowing no sin will enter the kingdom of heaven. And we just thank and praise you. We could be aware of your commandments. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this day. Bless the study. Take away anything that's corrupt in our hearts, minds, and souls. Give us only the truth, Lord and God. It's all we desire. Bless and anoint everyone here. Touch them, heal them, strengthen them, and impress upon them the seriousness of everything. Heavenly Father, knowing that one day we're going to meet you, and you're the living God, and there's none else, and you created the whole universe. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this day, the Sabbath. Give us the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we just thank you. We could be here today. Put a wall of fire around and about us. Caution us from any evil. I just praise and thank you today in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless you today. Well, as we all know, every one of us has been using the Gregorian calendar. You know the calendar that you use in your house? It was created by Pope Gregory in the 1500s, and he's the guy who got us using that. We've been using it since the 1500s. And here's what April means, in case you didn't know it. April happens to be the month of Aphrodite. And as she's the Greek goddess of love and beauty, she's identified with the Roman goddess Venus. And if you start thinking to yourself, gosh, that's what April means? Because, you know, we just say April, but no one ever knows what it means. But that's exactly what it is. That's where we got the name from. And if you do a study on all the names of the months and the days of the week and all that kind of stuff, you see they come from pagan origin, because there's no female gods. We know that. This is a goddess, the goddess Venus. However, what we do at our congregation, we bring it to focus God's calendar. Today we're in the eighth day of the first month of God, called Nisan, and that's Ha'aviv. Is everyone familiar with Nisan? Not the car, but you ever hear of Nisan in the Bible? And this is the first month of God. Like, if you would have met us, like, last week, we would have been saying Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year. Because, think about it, God starts his new year in the spring. When everything comes alive, the grass starts growing, the flowers start blooming, and everything's new, you know, in the spring, and you feel better. Pope Gregory's got us doing New Year in January when everything's dead and frozen. So which one sounds better, God's New Year or Pope Gregory's? Yeah, God's got us doing it when everything's new again. The grass starts growing, the flowers are growing, the trees. So anyway, there it is right there. It says, B'chodesh harishon hu chodesh nisan. And there it is, the word aviv. Aviv is the greenness. It's the young ear of the barley. This is the barley harvest. And that's the time right now. And that's what that's all about. And that's found in Exodus chapter 13, verse 4. And that's the month. This is a very important month. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up subjects and topics in the Bible that maybe never been discussed in your life. Maybe you never heard of these things before. God has his own calendar, his own feasts. This is God's Sabbath, not mine. The Sabbath, by the way, the Sabbath is the fourth commandment out of the Ten Commandments. Everyone heard of the Ten Commandments, right? This is the fourth one that's been erased in the world, deleted, so most people never heard of it. But it's a commandment, you know. It's not a suggestion or if you get around to it, but it's a commandment of God. And if you break any commandment, what is that called?
Sin.
Sin. Yeah. And it's a scary thing because the world got everyone brainwashed to go to church. First of all, that term go to church is wrong, but they do it on this day called Sunday. And if you think about those two words, church, first of all, the word in the Greek is ekklesia, and it really means the set apart ones. So this is not a church building. We're the church, the people are, the set apart ones to the God. And the first day of the week was Sunday when they used to worship the sun. That's why they called it Sunday. It was really Sunday. But in the Bible, there's no such thing as Sunday. But anyway, so I like to bring up topics and subjects that maybe you're not familiar with. I'm also a minister of the Criminal Justice Center in Franklin, so I like to do that too, whenever, if ever I'm called upon, and I hope not. Hope I'm never called upon, because that has to do with the prison. I hope nobody ever ends up in prison or I have to come and visit you. I don't want to do that. I mean, I will if you're there, but I mean, you shouldn't end up there. Anyway, all my subjects, you could read them, hear them, watch them. If you missed me in the last 15 years, I have a website that I run, Lennox website. You could read them, you could hear them, you could watch them. And all these things you could look up yourself, you know, if you in the privacy of your own home, I guess, if you have internet. I have to come over here to have internet because I live out here. I have a house here in Hole-in-Wall. We don't have internet. But anyway, we have Wi-Fi in here, by the way. Anyway, I was streaming right now live throughout the world. If you forget, there's people right now watching us live on the internet around the world, right this minute, like TV. They're watching us, and they're hearing us. So, and if you'd like me ever to come to your group of people, I'd love to come and talk about these things. You could always call me up, and I'd be glad to come. Well, today I'd like to explain the Sabbath, in case you're not familiar with it. Sabbath, I explain the Sabbath each week during these holy days of God and these feasts of God coming up. In Exodus 20, we have a very interesting sentence. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that's Zichom, Yom Shabbat, you know. And so we're trying to remember this day. And of course, it's turned into a commandment. So we have 6 days to do all work and all labor. Today is the Sabbath of Jehovah, thy God. In it, you're not supposed to do any work. Who? You, your son, your daughter. If you're not supposed to have anyone working around your house, like nowadays they have landscapers and things like that. Everyone's supposed to stop today. Anyone within your gates, see that right there? Everyone within your gates is supposed to be keeping the Sabbath, otherwise you're breaking it. Because Jehovah said, 6 days he made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day was created in Genesis chapter 2. There were no Jews and there was no Israel. It's just a commandment. God blessed the seventh day. And what I did was, because I'm the kind of guy that wanted to make sure when the seventh day is, I went and checked out a whole bunch of calendars. Believe it or not, the seventh day has always been the seventh day, which they call nowadays Saturday, which comes from the word Saturn, when they used to worship Saturn. But we call it the seventh day. I mean, we call it Saturday too because we're in the world, but I mean, we're not going to change that. Don't get me wrong, but God has his own calendar. It's nice. You know, I like to give God a chance. We give everyone else a chance, but everyone threw away God's calendar, God's everything. God's, forget about God. The only problem is we're all going to meet him one day. That's why I started doing this. I thought, gosh, I'm going to meet the Lord one day. And, you know, we didn't do this our whole life. Don't think we were just woke up one day and started doing that. We just took us many years. But it's the Sabbath. And it says the same thing in Leviticus. The seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation. So what does that mean, a holy convocation? That's a weird term. Well, holy means set apart to the God of Israel. Convocation means a mikra kodesh in Hebrew. It basically means Sabbath is a public meeting, a sacred assembly, people of like-minded faith. Because this is the only day you can get something, you could learn something about God. And then you have 6 days to go do anything you feel like, as long as it's not breaking the commandments. I mean, my wife and I, we do all kind of stuff, ride ATVs and do a lot of stuff and farming and do all kind of stuff. I can't even tell you, but we do lots of stuff. And so does everyone else. But we got 6 days to do that. It's plenty. After 6 days, I'm tired. This is a nice day to learn something about God so I can maybe tell someone else the truth. And that's what this is all about. It's telling someone the truth. And it's in all your dwellings. Look at that. It says right there. So it's the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. So that means everyone in your house has to be doing this. And that's really important. And then you might say, what's the easy way of understanding the Sabbath? You go to the book of Isaiah, and it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure. So today we don't do our pleasure on his holy day, and you call today a delight. It's the Sabbath of Jehovah, honorable, and you honor him. How do you do that? Not doing your own ways today. Like today, I'm not going to do my own thing. Not finding my own pleasure today. And not speaking my own words. What that means, like, you know, I'm not going to get into a big conversation about my new pickup truck or my new something that has nothing to do with God. Today, I'm going to try to focus. Let's focus on God because he's been shoved out of the way and no one cares about him. The only problem is you're going to meet him. That's the problem. I remember when I was like 18, somebody told me that verse, which really bugged me. They said, if you save your life, you're going to lose it. And if you lose your life, you're going to save it. And I was 18, and I thought, I don't want to lose my life. I'm 18. I said, I got my whole life ahead of me. But then I realized what that meant later on in my life's travels. I realized that being a believer in God and keeping his commandments doesn't make you a Martian. Doesn't turn you into a wacko. It just makes you a person that everything you do, people look at you and go, wow, that person, they're different. They don't steal. They don't lie. They don't cheat. They don't use bad language. What's up with that? And you know, you be a testimony to people. And that's what we were. Anyway, and that's what we are today. So anyway, these are these little simple things. See how simple God talks? 1, 2, 3. Right? I mean, does anyone not understand that? Today we just don't do what I don't do my own thing. You know, I might want to go do something else, but I stopped today and I want to do what God wants to do for a change. Anyway, today we don't buy and sell because buying and sell is construed as evil. These people were buying and selling to the children of Judah that fell away from God. They started sinning. And this guy Nehemiah said, what evil thing is this that you do and you profane the Sabbath day? And you can read that whole chapter yourself, Nehemiah 13, and you'll find out God is a different kind of God than you may think. You know, next week, next Friday night is Passover. Anyone ever heard of Passover? Passover. Now, it's amazing. We always lose people during this, and we've lost some people already. Before we start, I just wanted to go over some of the dates. We'll be doing Passover next Friday night. And then we do the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We do First Fruits, and we do the Feast of Weeks. And we'll be counting weeks, not omers, like the world is doing. We're not Messianics, by the way. Messianics made a big mess out of everything. And we left the Christian world because they weren't doing anything Christian-like. Because we're just following Yeshua, Jesus, and keeping his commandments just like the apostles did, and just like Paul did, Apostle Paul. If you actually match up any church and you go read your Bible, what Apostle Paul did and what Jesus did, and you say, this is what they're doing, and you go check everyone out, you'll find out they're miles away. They're having weirdo things go on. But anyway, here's the dates, which I'm not going to read to you. You can always go on my website. Next week is Passover. And Passover, just we do it in memorial. It's, you know, Jesus, Yeshua is our Passover. We use his Hebrew name because, you know, Jesus or Yeshua is not from Texas. He's not from Tennessee. He's from Israel. So his name is Yeshua. Yeshua means he will save in Hebrew. Anyway, I don't know if you guys ever heard of a Passover Haggadah Seder service. Anyone ever heard of that? That's the study you do on Passover, in case, in plain English. It's just a little study you do. And the word Seder means order. It's the order in the service, okay? And that's found, the service is found in Exodus 12. You can read that yourself. We're going to keep this service. And we hope one day the children will ask us what in the world we're doing. Now, the word Haggadah means the telling. Haggadah is the name of many versions of books that have been written, which tell of the Passover story throughout the Seder dinner. Many of these Passover Seders are not scriptural. We keep Passover in memorial. You know, in other words, we're not going to go do a lot of things that people are doing. Again, the Haggadah means telling, so I'm going to tell you the truth today. How's that sound? Well, now, some people, believe it or not, some people in Judaism, they wrap up in plastic the Passover study. So you just raise your hand and you always go, where does it say that in the word? And it doesn't. It's made up. The next thing, we might light some candles, but we're not going to tell you it's a commandment to light candles. Because again, you raise your hand and go, where does it say it's a commandment to light candles? I mean, I like candles, but it's not a commandment. These are some of the things people do at the Passover, which are ridiculous. We don't say the Da'enu sayings. I don't know if you know what Da'enu means. Basically means it would have been enough. And there's a whole list of sayings, which I know you wouldn't agree with. We read that 2 weeks ago. I could show you what that means later. At Passover, we don't have eggs in our plate or shank bones. That's what a lot of Messianics in Judaism will. They'll be putting an egg in the plate and a shank bone. You raise your hand and you say, "Where does it say that in the word? Who made that up?" We don't have something called the Moshiach or Messiah dinner for his future first coming, like some of the Chabad Judaism is doing. They have a, believe it or not, a Moshiach dinner because they think he's going to come once, the first time, which we already know he came, right? We don't tell that made-up story, the Afikomen. I don't know if you heard of Afikomen. It's a Greek word. And that's another whole thing where someone hides the piece of bread and you got to find it at the end of the service. And it's all this stuff made up. Again, you raise your hand like a little child, like Yeshua says, come as a child. So even though I'm at this age, I still come as a child, and I smile, and I go, where does it say that in the word? And they look at me, and most people get upset, because you could stump the scholars with that little sentence. If you memorize, where does it say in the word, you could stump all the pastors, all the rabbis, everybody, because a lot of stuff they say is made up. So it's a little sentence to memorize. We don't charge money for the Passover Seder. That's ridiculous. We went online, you know, we went on Google and stuff like that, and we found out they're charging, what is it, $40 for adults and $20 for children. Where does it say that in the word? Imagine making money out of Passover Seder. Where does it say to do that? Some people go to 2 or 3 Passovers. Where's it say to do that? Some people, you know, we have to get the leaven out of our houses, and we do that. I don't know if you have, you know, leaven is symbolic of sin. You know, we're trying to get sin out of our lives. You know, when you meet someone that doesn't sin, that's the person you want to meet because you could trust them. But other people, I don't know if you could trust too much because everybody's up to something. But if you meet someone that's trying to get sin out of their life, that's good. But anyway, the Chabad sells it. They sell the leaven. Where does it say that in the word? Some people, you know, the Bible tells us what to have on Passover. We don't have a roast. We don't have an egg and a shank bone. Some other people made it a gourmet dinner. They have roast chicken, beef, brisket, or turkey. That's Reform Judaism. They do that. Where does it say that? You know what we have on Passover? We do what the Bible says, roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. Wow, that's so hard to do because, I mean, you just read the Bible. We don't keep Passover with people that break the Sabbath or any commandments of the God of Israel because that would be ridiculous. I mean, you can't do that. You can't have sin in your camp when you're doing Passover. That would be nuts, crazy. We don't leave the door open over there for Elijah to come. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. Some people actually leave the door open. They think Elijah is going to come.
Like you would need a door.
I mean, like a boing. We don't do that. He's not coming because Elijah came. The spirit that was on Elijah went into John the Baptist. John the Baptist already came, is dead and gone. You know what I mean? He's not coming, and we don't put a glass of wine out for Elijah. I've seen people actually do that. Don't think I'm making this stuff up. I've actually seen people leave the door open and put a glass of wine, and then on the Sabbath, everyone looks towards the door because they want the queen of the Sabbath to come in. Where does it say that in the Bible? That's almost like spooky. That's like mystical. Anyway, let's see. We don't make a big deal of wash. We want you to be clean, of course, wash your hands and stuff. But I'm not, the only reason I put this down about washing hands or houses or whatever to get the leaven, if you went on the Chabad site, you would see what I'm talking about. They scour everything as if like it's the plague, and they make sure there's no, I mean, talk about overboard. I mean, they go something that would just drive you out of your mind. It's just unbelievable. I was reading it this morning. I was thinking, gosh. We don't lean over when we have the Passover Seder, like they did at the meal. We're not going to lean over. Let's see. We don't eat the Passover memorial dinner in a rush to flee. We're not fleeing. You know, like in the Bible, they were fleeing. But we're not fleeing. We don't have Pharaoh chasing us in an army right now when we do it. So we're not going to be running out the door. We don't put blood on the doorpost like they did. Okay? Some people actually do that. We leave out all the traditions because they cloud the real meaning of the Passover. Beware of made-up analogies. Beware of quoting the Talmud that is unwise and unscriptural. There's no prayer shawls or tallits in the scriptures for you to wear. Did you know that? That's made up. All those tallits. You know, you ever know what, you know, that thing they wear?
Yeah.
That's made up too. There's no such thing as Passover plates. Some people think you need special Passover plates.
Yeah,
make a lot of money, sell people extra plates and silverware. Some people have Passover refrigerators. They got Passover. That's ridiculous. I wish. Actually, Judaism made up 15 steps that you have to follow to keep the Passover, which is made up. Anyway, that's a lot of stuff to think about. I mean, and if you think I'm making this up, just go to Google it, and go Judaism and Passover, and you'll see everything I just told you. They're really doing this. And you'll think that, where does it say that in the Word? Who? Huh? How come they're doing that? Anyway, what we do is we keep the appointed days and feasts of God, which are very simple. So we're going to speak unto the children of Israel, and we're going to say unto them concerning the feast of Jehovah. Now, these are not people's feasts. They're not made-up feasts. They're not my feasts. They're not your feasts. These are the feasts of God that have been deleted. Now, I know everyone does, like, the things that we've been all brainwashed doing, but no one does God's feasts. Isn't that, God says, these are my feasts, right? So, but these have all been deleted. They're erased. Most people never heard of them. These are the feasts of Jehovah, even the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their season. In other words, we don't do the feasts of God when we feel like it. We do them on a specific day, a specific time. You know, And a lot of things we're telling you, it might be new to your eardrums, but we follow the new moon, the Rosh Chodesh, when we see the little sliver. You know, we see the little thing and the, oh, it's a new month of God. That's how we can keep the feast. These are the feasts of Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. And, you know, we don't do any offerings like this, okay? So basically what we'll be doing today, we'll be doing something called the festive meal. And it's the Shulchan Orek, which means the set table. And we definitely get the leaven out of our houses. We try to get rid of everything made out of leaven out of our houses, because only because God said it. We double check that in the Bible. A little leaven, a little sin, leavens the whole lump. Get the leaven out. We have the matzah, you know, which is really unleavened bread. I guess you could buy a box of Manischewitz matzahs, but we make unleavened bread, you know, no leaven. And it's symbolic of humble bread. Now, it's not puffed up. It has no leaven. It's not going to rise. So everything has a meaning. Besides the physical, there's a spiritual understanding. The roasted lamb, of course, reminds us of the first, you know, the first Passover sacrifice. And Yeshua, he is our Passover. He died for our sins. He was the lamb without spot or blemish. Everyone knows that, right? You heard of that before, right? And the bitter herbs seems to recall the bitterness of slavery. You know, we remember that the hard bondage that our brothers and sisters were in when Pharaoh. Anyone here ever have an army chase you?
No, not yet.
Well, our brothers and sisters in the Bible, Pharaoh and his army were chasing them. I mean, I can't imagine what that felt like. I'm happy they believed God and he split the Red Sea. That's a miracle, a super miracle. It says, let us therefore keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And here's where we got that. So if you raised your hand and you said, where does it say you got to eat roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread? I'd say, oh, right here, Exodus 12:8. And they shall eat the flesh, that means the lamb, that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. So right by reading this one sentence, look what it says. The 14th day of the second month, at even, they shall keep it, roasted lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. So if I read to you, hey, we're going to have, the Bible says roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. Where do you get an egg or a shank bone, or turkey, or beef brisket, or chicken?
Nowhere. Not near.
Why are we having lamb is symbolic of Yeshua. He's the Lamb of God that died for our sins. I mean, well, that's why we're doing it. We search for leaven, like it says. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from that first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. We don't eat anything leavened for the whole week. I think the only thing we ever eat with leaven sometimes is crackers, huh? Because most stuff don't even have leaven in it. Yeah. Anyway, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to Jehovah. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leaven be unleavened bread be seen with you. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. So we check our houses, make sure there's no leaven in it. You know, we try out, we do our best, our due diligence. So we do that. There's so many verses about eating unleavened bread, and my friend said to me, he goes, "Do you really have to eat unleavened bread?" And I said, "I don't know. Ask God. Read the Bible. I don't know." Now, what kind of work can be done on the Passover to prepare? What are the holy convocations? Okay. Exodus 12:16 says, in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. You should do no manner of work shall be done in them, only save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. So we can obviously cook our food and, you know, prepare our meals. That's not considered work. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? I think God is pretty straightforward, and he doesn't speak to us like where we can't understand. In the Gospel of Matthew, leaven is in Scripture is almost always a symbol of sin. Putting away leaven is a picture of sanctification and getting sin out of our life. Yeshua said, go and sin no more. Of course, the chametz is leaven. And let's seek to be more like Yeshua, no sin, right? That's what we're trying to do. Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, whereas you are unleavened. Even Christ, Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. He's telling you to keep the feast, Apostle Paul. Let us keep the feast. How? Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that's what unleavened bread is. It's sincerity and truth besides leavened bread. I mean, you know, unleavened bread. And then we proceed in the service to eat and talk about the Passover and the telling of the Passover story. And just to let you know, it says, I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am Yehovah. And I will pass through the land of Egypt that this night I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am Yehovah. And that really took place. It's amazing. Jeremiah says, I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captive, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. And then during the Passover dinner, we talk about the 10 plagues. Just think, Pharaoh, because of his wickedness, they received 10 plagues from God. First one was water. All the water was turned to blood. So could you imagine going to get a drink of water and blood came out of the faucet? That was the curse upon Pharaoh. How would you like to be like this whole room, frogs about this high? Would you like a whole bunch of frogs?
No.
How about lice? Lice. How about flies? Just like, I'm not talking a fly or two. I'm talking about, this happened to Pharaoh. How about hail? How about moraine? Grievous moraine, like a sickness on the animals. How about locust? How'd you like to be bombarded with locust? How about darkness that could be felt? Now, you know when it's dark out, but how about darkness that could be felt? And then this one's real bad. How about if God slew all the firstborn? Imagine like in Hole in Wall or Nashville, if there was such a, God forbid, let's say God killed all the firstborn. That would be horrible. That means there's a firstborn in every house, right? That's what happened to Pharaoh. That happened to Pharaoh. So that cry of that city must have been tremendously loud. Then we'll probably talk about the 10 murmurings and the complaints, the disputings of Israel. And God says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. And that's still the same message today. If you don't keep God's commandments, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. And just think, you don't have to be old. And you don't have to be sick. If God wants to, if today's your day, you meet the Lord. As I've been talking right now, so many people right now are going to meet the Lord. Not here, thank God, but in the world, it's happening every second or faster. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Just think, you could be young and you could be healthy, and if God says, your time is up, You meet the Lord. And then whatever you did will be done to you. If you kept God's commandments and you accepted Jesus, Yeshua, as your Messiah, fine. And you did what he said. If not, not good. Not good. Now, does this sound like maybe some of us might have did that before? Woo, Nelly. Have you ever murmured against God? Like, you know, I don't want to serve God. That sounds boring. Well, serving God isn't boring, first of all, because that means you don't understand what it means. Serving God is actually pretty exciting when you have the one who created the whole universe on you. You're on his side. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Some people murmur against Jehovah many times. Some people, they just don't like to keep the commandments. I've had a lot of people say that. I choose not to keep the commandments. Some people murmur against the land which Jehovah gave them, or the building that God has given them to meet in. So I remember people saying that they didn't like the color of the wall, or they don't like the paint, or they don't like whatever, you know. Some people murmur against the manna and the bread that God gave them from heaven, the food that we got to eat. Some people, they murmur against anything they could possibly be upset against, they think of. Some people murmur against the wife of Moses, Moses' wife. Some people murmured against Moses, the leader. Some people murmured because there was no water in the wilderness. Some people murmured because of Aaron. Some people murmured against the people who God put over them many times, against people Jehovah brings to our congregation. Mm-hmm. Some people just don't like anything, actually. I don't know what they want. You can't please some people because sooner or later they're going to get upset or offended at something, right? And then we're supposed to ask, the children, I guess sooner or later, will ask these questions. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. How many days?
Six.
What are you supposed to eat?
Unleavened bread.
Did I say that?
No.
Who said that?
God.
Yeah. And in the seventh day shall be a feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and shall no leavened bread be seen with you, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in thy quarters. It says, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, your son or your daughter might go, what are you guys doing this for? You know, what are you doing this stuff for? This is the answer. This is done because of that which God, Jehovah, did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you should say unto him, by strength of hand, Jehovah brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. Now, I know you have to sort of put yourself in the mind of this thing, because like when I say Egypt, at that time it was the biggest nation in the world, the most powerful, Pharaoh. And God actually saved the Israelites and Moses and Aaron out of his clutches. That'd be like that'd be like Russia and China and everyone else coming at you, and God saves you out of their hands. That's a miracle. It's amazing. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let them go, that Jehovah slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice Jehovah all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all that the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand and frontlets between thine eyes, and by strength of hand Jehovah brought us forth out of Egypt. In other words, you're supposed to always remember that. It's a day to try to remember. But just think, once you leave these doors, no one even heard of it. Just think, once you leave these doors, the Sabbath doesn't exist. The only reason we're doing this is because we started reading the Bible, and I started saying, there's not 9 commandments, there's 10, right? The Sabbath is the fourth one. Delete. The world deleted. There's no more keeping the fourth commandment. Isn't that sick? I mean, a little kid knows there's 10 commandments, right? I think most kids know that. So how could you have nine? Anyway. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. And it wouldn't have took 40 years, but it was real close. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. People always want to go back to their sins, you know. They want to go back to their last life. We don't. I can't imagine going back to the stuff I used to do. God forbid. Forget that. And God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. I mean, these, when you read the Bible, don't think they're little stories. These are actual real people with real events. These are real people, real events. Pretty scary stuff was going on there. It says, when your son asks you in a time to come saying, what do you mean by these testimonies and statutes and judgments which Jehovah our God commands us? Like, what is all this commandment stuff and what is all this stuff? Why do we have to do that? You say, you're supposed to say unto your son, we were Pharaoh, which is symbolic of the devil. We were bondage to Satan or Egypt. And Pharaoh brought us out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. Jehovah brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So when you read this kind of stuff, you might say, well, I was never in Egypt and I never met Pharaoh. But that's all symbolic of the devil and your last life of sin. God saved you out of that. Look, anyone could be a sinner. It takes a real man and a woman to keep the commandments. Right?
Yes.
Anyone could do the wrong thing. That's easy. Jehovah showed us signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And Jehovah commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Jehovah our God. Why? For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And if you keep God's commandments, it's your righteousness. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all the commandments before Jehovah our God as he commanded us. I don't take it as a hard thing. I take it as a pretty easy thing. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what do you mean by this service? I mean, what do we have to do this for? You say, it is the sacrifice of Jehovah's Passover when he passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, and he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. I bet if God showed up right now, we'd all faint. I know I would. There's no big times when God shows up. You just go whoop. When the breath is going out of you, you're not big time anymore. Even an atheist goes, "Oh God," and God goes, "I don't believe in atheists."
Yeah.
You're still going to meet the Lord. No matter how long it takes. So then we do something called the Kiddush. It's the sanctification. We have one cup in his blood. We don't drink blood, don't get me wrong. Yeshua says, and as they were eating, Yeshua, Jesus, took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So he took one piece of bread and he broke it and gave it all to them, the apostles that were sitting there. And he took the cup, one cup, and he gave thanks and he said, drink ye all of it. One cup. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And this is, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and that's basically four witnesses that basically all say the same thing. That's why I like the Gospels. I look at everything like that. There's four witnesses that say similar things. And as they did eat, this is Mark. He says, as they did eat, Yeshua took bread and blessed and break it and said, and gave to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And the only reason I'm specifying one cup and one bread, again, in the Messianic world and in Judaism, they're going to have five cups and five pieces of bread, or four. I don't know about you, but if you drank five cups of wine, what happens? You'll be doing, you might, instead of doing Passover, you might do the pass out. No, but I'm saying, that's why it says one cup. You know, one cup. Anyway. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they all went out of the Mount of Olives. I've been to Israel. I went to the Mount of Olives. It's pretty exciting. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but I've been there. It's pretty exciting. You know what's nice about going to Israel? You actually see all the things you read in the Bible. They're really there. All the lands, all the water. And you think, wow, this is real. Because when you read the Bible, you know, you get, you know, it's just a book. But when you go to Israel, everything that you read, it's like, there's Nazareth. There's the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked on the water. I mean, it's really there. So it's like, when you go to Israel, everything becomes real to you. And it's like, wow, this is real. We went to the Dead Sea, and it's really dead. I mean, there's no movement. And I remember everyone was looking up at the mountain, the Masada, and I thought, that's not in the Bible. But it was the place where Sodom and Gomorrah was. You ever read about Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yeah.
That was destroyed with fire and brimstone? When we went to Israel, it blew my mind. It was there. I mean, this is a place, there's no volcanoes, there's no explosions, but it looked like someone, you know when you look at a mountain, you see mountains? Sodom and Gomorrah looked like someone melted the mountain, and then it melted, and then melted, and melted. It looked like someone melted the mountains. I never forgot that. It was really there. God really destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But they don't want, I asked one of the people that, I said, how come no one talks about this? He goes, we don't like to talk about that power of God. They like to tell you some other story. But it's really there. And it was frightening. It looked like someone, I went up to the mountain and I touched it like that and it broke like ash. And ash isn't found in mountains. That's found where volcanoes are, you know, or there's no volcanoes there. It just broke. Like, it was weird. It was the weirdest thing I ever seen. And in the distance, it looked like they used to be houses, but they were just ash. It was like the eeriest thing I ever seen. We were coming from Jerusalem, and, you know, I was going that way. It was a scary thought, scary scene. But anyway, if you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, God said he left it for an example for those that should hereafter want to do ungodliness. It's an example for you to see that what God left. Anyway, there's one cup, and that's what we're going to do, one piece of bread. Anyway, let's move on here. Of course, we do what Apostle Paul reads this. Apostle Paul did this with the Corinthians. We take bread and, you know, we use grape juice. I guess you could use wine if you like, but we use grape juice and we do that also. We take a piece of bread and pass it around, and everyone has their own cup. We don't drink. Nowadays, we don't drink out of one cup because I know everybody wants to be clean. So we give everybody their own cup, and we pour from one canister, you know. But anyway, so it's one cup. I'm going to pass all this up. And then we say a prayer. I'm just showing you what we do next Friday night. And of course, this is different to what everyone else is doing. Everyone else will be doing all the stuff I told you that, you know, it's not in the Bible. So you can read all about that. Let me see what else I could tell you. We do the Shema, we say that together. Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. Our God is one God, of course. We believe there's only one God. And then we all read the congregation reading here in Deuteronomy 6. We read that. And we just go through, let's see. We read all that to you. Then we might read some Psalms. And we do the conclusion of the Seder. We do some singing, of course. We'll be doing some singing today, actually. And we say the prayer. And we might say the prayer that was said to Aaron right there. You know. And we'll read that when it's time. And then we might read a little more. Now, I'm going to show you guys something interesting that this might shock you. So these are all the dates. Remember, the rest of the world, the rest of the Messianics, and the rest of the Judaism, they're going to be counting the Omer. So what should you do? Raise your hand. Where does it say that in the Word? What are we supposed to be counting?
Weeks.
We're going to count 7 weeks. And it's going to add up to 50 days, because 7 times 7 plus 1 is 50, right? 7 sevens is 49 plus 1. But everyone will be counting the Omer, which is like ridiculous. Does everybody know what an Omer is? It's a sheaf of barley. I don't even know anybody that has bags of barley, do you? Can't count those anyway. Anyway, so remember, the Gregorian calendar that you use every day of your life is different than God's calendar, but that's been deleted. Pope Gregory, are you Catholic? Pope Gregory's winning. Everyone's using a Catholic calendar. Now, we're not going to change that because everybody uses it. We have to use that because we're in this world. But we like to bring into focus God's calendar. You know, God starts his day in the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. If you read Genesis, the first four days, there was no sun and moon. But the first 4 days had light. Think about that. There was no sun, no moon, but there was an evening and a morning. It's a miracle. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
No sun, no moon, but there was an evening and a morning. How could that be? Well, God does the impossible. Anyway, so on the ninth day at even, from even to even, we're going to celebrate our Sabbath. And that's how we do it. We started last night at sundown, and that's when we start our Sabbaths, from Friday night to Saturday night. This whole day until, like right now we're in the daytime hours, and they'll be ending tonight about 7:21, and then the Sabbath is over. Anyway, these are some words you should read. You should know about this, the thing about the dwelling. Everyone in your dwelling is supposed to be keeping the Sabbath. You should know about the sivah work there. That's melechet avodah. No work at all, domestic or public. And the Sabbath is a mikra kodesh, a sacred assembly. Every Sabbath is, actually. That's why we show up here. We came from Nashville, by the way. We were there for years. But we decided to come out here to see. We heard there were some people around here that keep the Sabbath. And sooner or later, we're going to meet other people, too. We're new here, so that's why we're going to meet other people. So we just met some people last week that were here. They said their whole church found out about the Sabbath, and they started doing it. And I thought, that's amazing. It's not that amazing. I was kidding, because it's in the Bible. But anyway,
huh? It is amazing that many people.
Yeah, it's amazing a whole church found the Sabbath. I mean, it's like... But anyway, there's 7 Sabbaths in the Feast of God, and they happen to be on the first, third, and seventh months of God. Now, the first, third, and seventh months of God are different than ours, right?
Absolutely.
It's Nisan, Sivan, and Ha'etanim. Of course, the world calling it September. Judaism calls it Tishrei. Where does it say that in the Word? But why don't you go to the Bible? In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2, it says Ha'etanim. I guess that's too easy for the seventh month. Anyway, of course, preparation shall be made. So I guess anyone that's joined themselves to God, to the God of Israel, should be doing this according to God. We do first fruits, which is symbolic of the resurrection of Yeshua. I'll show you guys something that maybe you should take note of. And you guys should keep your calendar this year. to show you how Pope Gregory made a big error. Check this out, seriously. March 27th, that just passed, March, they all did Easter eggs and chocolate candy and bunnies. Now, am I against candy? No. Am I against eggs? No. But what does it have to do? You know any rabbits that lay eggs? I know rabbits don't lay chocolate eggs. But anyway, what is that supposed to be? It's supposed to be symbolic of the resurrection of Yeshua. I want you to get this. I want you to think about this. March 27th was supposed to be the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. A month later, April 22nd, this year, they're going to be doing when Jesus dies. Passover. Well, wait a minute. How could he be raising from the dead a month before he dies? It should be, wait a minute, he should die first and then raise from the dead, right?
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying? That's why you should save your calendar this year, because to show you how Pope Gregory's calendar is really crazy. And you could double check me, go get your calendar, look up March 27th and look up April 22nd, and you'll see they have Jesus raising from the dead, and then he's going to die? That's ridiculous. How could that be? Anyway, I was going to say, just stay away from things that are made up and unscriptural. Don't agree to disagree like attorneys try to teach you. Don't condone things that you know are wrong. Don't just wink with the eye and let things slide, or, you know, don't be guilty by association. Don't make excuses or alibis for people. I can't do this and I can't do that. Forget that. God said do it. You better do it, because you're going to meet him. I mean, that's it. Simply put, don't lie. How many liars are going to heaven? Where does it say that? Revelation. Revelation says all liars. What's going to happen to them? They're going to have a picnic? No, it says they're going to have their part in the lake of fire, which burns forever. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. So don't participate in that. Start preparing. And anyway, that's my quick study for today. And the people online are still there. Let's see. Very good. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being here today. Thank you for your message. We are preparing for your Passover and your Feast of Unleavened Bread and also the first fruits. Bless and anoint the rest of the Shabbat and teach us things, Lord and God, the right things, because knowing we're going to meet you one day, no matter how long it takes, you're still going to be there in the end. Heavenly Father, bless this day, the food, the singing, anything we do, let it be to the glory of God. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I hope you got something out of this message. I'm going to stop the video. Stop that. And that's be on my website later. And I'm going to stop the audio right down here.